You turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew 2, start at verse 1. Just wanted to let you know, it's just after 9 o'clock. You have roughly 15 hours to accomplish your 2017 New Year's resolutions. So if you haven't done that, you've got about 15 hours to do it. I'll just share two of mine while you're finding the verses this morning. The first one was to become taller. You laugh, but you know that fixes all your weight problems, right? Like, if I'm 6'2", they're like, wow, Ryan, you're really thin. You should eat a hamburger. No problem. I'll do that. That one didn't come through. My second New Year's resolution was to become a lumberjack. I bought this shirt. Mission accomplished. If you think this is amazing, wait till you see how the rest of my children show up this morning. We will be all lumberjacks today. Turn in your Bibles, Matthew 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, and out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let's pray. God, we thank you for this holy time. Any time spent in your presence is holy, Father. God, I thank you for what you want to accomplish this morning, not what I have to say or what anybody else, but what you have to accomplish. And we just thank you for that, Father. Amen. So this morning, now that Christmas is over, all the gifts have been unwrapped, mostly, probably. Some things are probably already broken. Anybody else have children? Already doing repairs last night. You find out that some people probably value you more than you value them. It's kind of this weird thing. You know, you've gone out of your way to maybe get a gift for someone, and they got you socks. Gee, thanks. That was great compared to my awesome gift I got you. Unless you're Pastor Brian, who really loves socks, in which case it means something for him. Or maybe you were on the receiving end of an extravagant gift, and you didn't get somebody else a really great gift. You were the one that bought them something that was kind of just ho-hum, a gift card or something, and they went out of their way to get you something very specific, an extravagant gift. You know, I remember two extravagant gifts as a childhood, in my childhood, and my father will be at second service, so I feel bad for him that I only remember two of all those years. That's awful. The first one, I got a Lego pirate ship, which was the Lego set to have. It was amazing. I regret not having it still. I donated it, and it's really sad. It's probably the only thing I've ever donated where I'm like, I wish I wouldn't have donated that. I should have just given them some cash. Because my kids really wish I still had it currently. The second one is I got my brother and I both got a waterbed one year for Christmas. Like, yeah, that's the kind of life we live. We got a waterbed. Our beds were awful, and my parents didn't just buy us mattresses. They bought us waterbeds. It was amazing and such an extravagant gift. And as a child, you can never repay that back to your parents, right? Like, you can't give them a gift that's equal to that. You can't give them something extravagant back. I couldn't even tell you what I bought for my parents those years, but I guarantee you it didn't compare to what they bought me. And oftentimes as a child, I would often have that after Christmas kind of disappointment, like, oh, I unwrapped all my gifts. They're really awesome, but I'm bummed because now I got to wait until my birthday in June to get any more gifts. Because that's how we think. That's how I think. You know, as an adult, we're supposed to have our gifts are supposed to last all year. Because they're not supposed to be about the physical things that we get. So my question this morning is, what is Christ's worth in your life? Is he an extravagant gift? You know, so many times we look at the gifts of the wise men and we wonder, you know, what is the meaning of Jesus' life? You know, why give him gold? You know, did that sustain them in their time in Egypt when they end up fleeing from Herod? You know, the frankincense and myrrh, one of them being a thing that is oftentimes used in burial, you know, predicting the time of Jesus at the end of his life. And as I looked at these three gifts and I was like, God, there has to be something else in here. I thought, and it kind of came to my mind that, wait a minute, each one of these gifts is not so much what they gave Jesus, but each one of these gifts actually represents Christ himself. So let's go through them. Gold. Something of great value. Something of rarity. That gold shows the value of Christ. And even more amazingly, it shows your value in Christ. And I love that. I love the fact that because of who Christ is, I am valuable. I have value. His name is above all other names. And his power has the ability to change your value. From a slave to a son or a daughter of a king. Because he paid your debt. In Revelation 3:5, it says, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Because of the value of Christ, because of who he is, you change your value. You become something more than you were before. You have worth. Frankincense. Frankincense is oftentimes used to worship. It's an incense. Now, we don't use a lot of incenses in worship. Some congregations use that. And depending on how old, you might have a time of a child where at Christmas they would burn a certain incense or different things like that. If you're a hipster, you probably have incense in your house, along with oils. Sorry, it's my dig on hipsters. So it's coming back. You have this resurgence of this. But frankincense is meant as a worshiping incense. You see, Jesus is the bridge between us and God. There is no other way between those two things. And so this incense, him being the incense of worship, is crucial. And again, we're going to go to Revelations. I don't know why I kept ended up in Revelations here. Revelations 8. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angels had poured them out. When the angels took the censer or bowl, filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumbling, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Your prayers mixed with the incense of Jesus himself rises up to God and is poured back out on earth in this amazing display of power. But without the incense of Christ, your prayers do not get poured back out. Jesus is this himself, that incense. And if you think about it, like when you're praying, you're going, well, you know, God, is this really doing anything? Is my prayers doing anything, or am I just muttering to nothingness? They are doing something. They are rising up with the incense of Jesus himself, and then they are poured out in answers. What answers did you get this year? What things did you pray about that have come back? It's his good deeds, Christ's good deeds, his perfect life, his death, that are mixed with your prayers and are poured back out. Myrrh. Myrrh is a bit of a healing agent if you read in the book of Esther. Some really cool stuff. It's oftentimes was rubbed on wrinkles and wounds, scars. They would rub myrrh on and it would heal them. So you find like these weird oils and things, and if you read on them, oftentimes they contain myrrh. That's pretty amazing. Now everybody's thinking, how much myrrh does it take to take away the wrinkles? Is it a lot? Esther, they said, it talks about it bathing her in it. That's a lot. I'm not sure how much that costs. It's a lot of money. But myrrh brings healing. Jesus himself is that healing. He is the healing that is found in the myrrh. So these wise men think that they are bringing these extravagant gifts, not realizing that each one of them represent the actual child they're giving them to. You know, Jesus took on all those pains and those hurts and those wounds and the emotional scars that we carry, and he heals them. You know, it's amazing if you take your life apart in just small chunks of what has happened a year-by-year basis. You know, it's amazing at how we can say, well, these amazing things have happened over this year. But we also realize that we've probably accumulated some baggage. And we've accumulated some hurt and some scars. And things were said to us. And relationships are broken. And all of these things happen in just a short time of 1 year. And so what heals that? What brings healing back to our lives? What is only found in Christ, that true healing. And if we turn this time, not to Revelation, but 1 Peter 2:24, which is actually my life verse. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. All the wounds, all the pain that you have accumulated, all the broken relationships that you have accumulated are all broken under Christ. They are all healed by Christ himself. Those wounds. As an adult, the extravagant gifts don't come just at Christmas time, but they're probably a little bit more intangible. And if you think, as I was thinking over my year and just over other people I know, and I was like, well, what are some of the gifts that I have gotten this year that are so important to me? Forgiveness from my wife for some mistakes I've made. Guidance from my own father when I lost my way. Healings from diseases, a word of vision and encouragement from a spiritual father, finally being able to forgive someone that has wronged me for a lot of years. Those are gifts that you can't just measure. And then you think about it even more, and it's like, well, I also had a miracle child this year who should not have survived. That's pretty cool. That's a gift. You can't measure that. I didn't get to unwrap that on Christmas morning. Have you received an extravagant gift? You know, these guys traveled, it is thought, for over 2 years to find Christ. 2 years. How many of you have ever traveled for an extended period of time? Maybe a month. When I was a kid, we did a month-long vacation. Motorhome, Florida, into Texas, into Mexico, California, and back. A lot of the United States you end up seeing from a window. It cost my parents a great fortune. That was a month. I can't imagine for traveling for over 2 years. And then on top of that, to not be like, hey, we traveled 2 years, we are the gift, bro. We just came to see you. But it was more than that. It was, we come traveling for years and we're going to bring you this extravagant gift. So what are your extravagant gifts this year? How far would you travel in order to get an extravagant gift? I know it talks about healing, and there's these different methods of healing that sometimes you can't do in the United States, or different surgeries or procedures. And so you'll hear people of spending great amounts of money and traveling into parts of Europe or parts of the former USSR to get surgeries or to get medicine, spending great fortune, sometimes having to live there, all to get healing. So what would you do? What would you do to get an extravagant gift? I think by the same tone, switch that around. How far would you travel for you to be the extravagant gift? For a child that's lost, living on the other side of the country or other side of the world, would you travel and go get them? Would you spend a great fortune to help someone in need far, far away? What is it worth? You know, everyone wants to stand at this point of the year, and we stand in front of the manger, and it's, oh, it's baby Jesus. You know, it's loving. And it's so, you know, it's just this moving time. And, you know, if you think about the wise men, they show up and Jesus is a toddler. I have a toddler. He's adorable. I was like, I can't imagine these guys showing up and they're like, that's him. That's the king. Do you have any wisdom here, bro? Like, you got anything? He's a toddler. He says ridiculous things all the time. It's amazing to me that we take this and it's so sweet and it's so loving. And I love this part, this vision of Jesus. I heard this amazing quote. It's Sister Pinyea of the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary. Just an amazing woman of prayer. And she says, you know, she was really questioning who Jesus was and whether or not she was even going to continue to be a Christian or not, or really just leave it all together. And she was deciding this, and someone invited her to a Thursday night service before Good Friday. And she says, as she's there praying, Jesus appears in front of her. And so she's looking for this sweet moment with Christ. And so she's thinking of like baby Jesus. And yet when Christ appears in front of her, he's standing there with a crown of thorns. And he goes, this is how I love you. Says it was a life-changing moment. Changed everything she believed about Jesus. So how far would you travel? In closing, I would just ask you just to think as today goes on, what extravagant gift of Jesus do you need? What extravagant gift do you need? What do you seek? And maybe at the other end of that, what extravagant gift can you be to someone else? You only got 14 and a half hours to get your resolutions done from this past year before you write a new one. Do you got enough time? Do you got enough time to be an extravagant gift to someone? I would encourage you, rise up, church, and take hold of your Savior, because only then will you understand the true gift that the wise man brought.